This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, teed up at Landsberg Golf Club and the Florida Golf Trail. Just last weekend, Landsberg Golf Club and the Florida Golf Trail were hosting the ninth event in the 18 months of the Todd Wright Tour. We were sold out. We had a wonderful time. A lot of regulars, plenty of first-timers. One of my grand prize winners was the assistant athletic director of the University of Tampa. And we'll talk more about the event in the podcast. Many who played in the tournament went out and played practice rounds at Landsberg Golf Club. And to a man, and of course the two ladies in the field, Macy and Terry, they raved about the greens at Landsberg Golf Club. You will too. Call for a tee time, 727-784-7333. Landsberg Golf Club is in Palm Harbor. Plays a friendly 58-44 from the whites, and then gets out to 6,200-plus from blue. And if you want to challenge the tips, good luck. Some holes are rather tight off the tee. Golds are 6,800-plus. Ladies, you're at 52-65. You can also visit Landsberg Golf Club online at landsberg-golf.com. Feel free via phone or in person to ask to meet the general manager, Steve Martin. Tell him you're a fan of mine and the podcast, and he will appreciate that you reached out. Landsberg Golf Club in Palm Harbor, 727-784-7333, one of seven golf courses on the Florida Golf Trail, and I'm happy to have them sponsoring the off-season portion of the Fantasy Football Podcast, as well as hosting the last event on the Todd Wright Tour. All right, let's talk about Tony Romo. Since our last podcast, Tony Romo made the decision to take a job with CBS Television. While he is not using the never-say-never approach to returning to the field, this is going to go one of two ways. One, it will go the Troy Aikman route, where Aikman left the Dallas Cowboys, went to TV, has done very well, and never played football again. Aikman never made a huge deal about it, but he felt that despite his series of injuries, Jerry Jones pushed him towards retiring and obviously wanted to him to retire, a member of the Cowboys, rather than play with another organization, wear another uniform. The Romo thing went down very similarly. The Cowboys clearly didn't have a future for Romo once they realized what they had with Dak Prescott. They couldn't really keep Romo on the roster at his price. Wouldn't have been sensible. They didn't want to release him feeling he had value, so they attempted to get a draft pick for him. Teams knew the Cowboys were in very little position to leverage them or simply didn't want to take on Romo's existing contract. So in the end, Romo made the move and said, I've had enough of this. And CBS might have also said, it's now or never. We need a decision. And perhaps they had already made a decision that they did not want Phil Simms to return. And this is also a way to get Phil Simms to sort of walk away on his own by publicly replacing him as the number one analyst with Jim Nantz. So it's either going to go the Aikman route, although I don't think Romo will be as good as Aikman, and I'll talk about that in a second. Or it'll go the Tim Tebow route. And as I talk to you on this podcast, not that I know very many details, and I care more about who was voted out on Wednesday's Survivor than what Tim Tebow is doing on a baseball field. Apparently Tim Tebow homered in some low-level minor league game the other night. Great. Tim Tebow continues to flirt with being a professional athlete, while ESPN all along has said, work for us and continue working for us, and we've got a good gig for you. Tebow presumably could go back to ESPN and do college football again in the fall. But I'm sure there are people in Bristol, Connecticut, who are getting to the point where it's like, look, does this guy want to work here or not? Can we count on him or not? So, like I said, it's going to go one of two ways. I'm inclined to believe that it goes the Aikman route unless my theory on Romo's performance on air is correct, which is he's not that good. A lot of people I respect in sports broadcasting have said all along, even before Romo took the CBS job, oh, Romo will be great if he takes the job. I'm not so sure, and here's why. I've always viewed Tony Romo as a very soft-spoken guy. Now, sure, when he's in the huddle and when he's barking out signals, he's not soft-spoken. You can't be. But in the way he communicates in general, he's very soft-spoken. That doesn't work in a role like that. Second, Tony Romo has rarely said anything that he knows people won't like. And in a role where you're the top analyst, being watched and listened to by millions of people every week, you're going to say things that about 50% of people don't like. If Tony Romo is working a game with Jim Nance and the game is, oh, I don't know, Patriots, Dolphins, and Romo says something critical about Adam Gase and Ryan Tannehill, and Dolphin fans are like, well, I don't like that. I don't like what he said. Clearly, he doesn't like the Dolphins. And I don't know how Romo is going to react to being in that role. Also, I would compare him jumping into such a high-profile job to Jeff Gordon in NASCAR. And I'll keep this brief because I don't want to lose all of you listening to the podcast when bringing up a NASCAR comparison. But I think many of you know who Jeff Gordon is, that he was an extremely successful driver in NASCAR. And yes, he retired and immediately jumped into the booth with Fox as a number one analyst. Gordon's in, I believe, his second year now. He's getting a little better, but soft-spoken, kind of high-pitched. Romo's voice is deeper. And doesn't jump in enough. Doesn't say as many forceful things. It's almost like on some broadcast, he's kind of just off to the side chiming in when he has a thought. It doesn't work that way. So this could go, like I said, one of two ways. And if in the early games that Romo does, he's not very good, and it's just off, it doesn't feel right, the connection with Nance isn't there, perhaps CBS gets impatient, perhaps Romo gets impatient. And then, if there is a major quarterback injury in the National Football League to a contending team, and or Houston hasn't settled their situation, or Denver hasn't settled their situation, then I think Romo and CBS could part ways. They'll make it sound very mutual, but that is a scenario where Romo just doesn't do very well, sees an opportunity in the NFL, and gets out of a job that wasn't really for him. And maybe CBS is okay with it, and then what CBS would do is probably bump everybody up one rung on the ladder, although there's something to be said for the chemistry of Team 2, Team 3, Team 4, Team 5. But they figure it out. So there are my thoughts on Tony Romo. Again, this could go one of two different ways. But if he's not very good, and CBS senses he's not very good, and he sees an opportunity to play, this thing could reverse in August or early September. And he goes back to playing. Now, if he does, I've said all along, I think Tony Romo is now the Tiger Woods of the NFL. His body won't allow him to play a sport that requires the body to perform at a certain level. So if Romo does return to the playing field, unless he is never breathed upon, I'm anticipating more injuries and more problems for him. So there are my thoughts on Tony Romo. And there seems to be things virtually every day involving this story and now Phil Simms' son speaking out. I did like how Pro Football Talk pointed out, if you feel bad for Phil Simms, don't. Because he basically did this to ESPN. And it happens a lot in sports and in the business where if you make a quick move to a job down the road, someone may make a quick move to replace you. It happens. Hey, it's happened to me. Adrian Peterson, the latest as we do the podcast, is that he's visiting the Saints. Most don't think this is a fit. However, let me make the case that it is. Not that the Saints would spend $8 million on him. Adrian Peterson has existed for a number of years in Minnesota in an offense where he was the number one, number two, and probably number three option, which made it very difficult on him to perform at a high level, and the fact that he has had the career that he has speaks very highly to his talents. Now, he's had various quarterbacks who were prolific, but at least in recent years, he's not. And when teams have prepared for the Viking offense, Adrian Peterson has been the guy they've set out to defend. If Adrian Peterson can find a team that has a prolific passing game like the New Orleans Saints, it will be better for him because he suddenly will not be the focus of opposing defensive game plans. There are other situations like that other than the Saints. I think you can rattle them off. I mean, find a big-time quarterback who runs an offense often of three wide receivers or pass catchers if you view some tight ends as wide receivers or wide receiver types, where just think about it from a defensive coordinator standpoint. Start thinking about all the teams in the NFL and the teams that when you prepare for them, you've got to be ready for that quarterback. Otherwise, he's going to light you up for 400 yards and four touchdowns. And that's a great spot to be a running back. I said for the entire time, Edgerrin James was the running back behind Peyton Manning. He had the best job in the world because while other teams respected him, they didn't really care if he got the ball. They wanted him to get the ball because if Edgerrin James had the ball, that means Peyton Manning doesn't have it. When Edgerrin James took his cash grab and went to Arizona, voila, that was over, and he was stunned by that. So the reverse can work for Adrian Peterson. Richard Sherman's situation. It does look like something is going to happen here. I would imagine around the draft would be the time where either the Seahawks organization, the front office, Pete Carroll, the defensive coaching staff, or the culture of that team, maybe Russell Wilson having a lot to do with it, they've just had enough of Richard Sherman, the person. And they think his play has dropped off. So I would anticipate Richard Sherman will be on another team in another camp in a few months. The Seahawks are looking for a player, and not just any player, but a player and a draft pick. It's easier to trade the draft pick than the player. I would think most teams at this point are looking at their rosters and writing in names and setting their depth charts. Now, clearly, if you acquire a Richard Sherman, you might be able to afford to give up another cornerback who he presumably replaces. Although in the NFL, having depth at cornerback, having depth on the defensive line is critical. So in the end, I think Seattle probably will only get a draft pick for Richard Sherman. And that's the best that they're going to do here. Sherman would like to go to a contender, but the Seahawks still call the shot here. Clearly, the Seahawks would probably trade him to an AFC team. An AFC team. So they wouldn't have to worry about facing him in the postseason unless they get to a Super Bowl. So you have your natural list of AFC playoff contending teams, right? And you go ahead and, you know, people have already talked about the Patriots and how that probably isn't a match. I wouldn't rule it out. I wouldn't. Why would you rule out New England bringing in Richard Sherman? They'll bring in virtually anybody. And most of the people they bring in are good players. And they are good players that might have attitude issues. And Bill Belichick either makes it work or cuts his ties very quickly, and it's not a big deal. Sure, there are other contenders in the AFC, just going down by division, other than New England. I could see Miami doing it. I don't see Pittsburgh doing it. I could see Baltimore doing it. I don't see Cincinnati doing it. AFC South, it's hard to find a contender in the AFC South, isn't it? I could see Houston doing it based on need. And AFC West, where you have a lot of good teams. LA Chargers, soon to be Las Vegas Raiders. Yeah. Yeah, there are some options out there for him, but I don't think the Seahawks will get both. I think they'll get the pick, not the player. And I think wherever he goes, he will have an instant impact. But I would expect that that instant impact is now, and it's more of a move to help you right now than a building block for the future. Speaking of, I mentioned Cincinnati. Amazing news out of Cincinnati that it looks like we might be coming to the end of the Marvin Lewis tenure in Cincinnati. I can't believe it's taken this long. Now, he still may stay. He's under contract for this coming year, but he kind of wants an extension, so he's not coaching in the last year of his deal. My response to that is, if I was the Bengals, Marvin, you want an extension? You know what I want, Marvin? I want you to win a frickin' playoff game. Because Marvin Lewis is the modern-day Marty Schottenheimer times 10 when it comes to getting to the playoffs and having winnable playoff games and not being ready to win them and not being able to make halftime adjustments to show you're serious about winning them in the second half. It is one of the most predictable things in the NFL in the 21st century. Marvin Lewis loses in the playoffs. So I think the Bengals are wise to be moving on from this, if that is in fact the plan. Watch, Marvin Lewis will go out, get to the playoffs, actually win a couple of playoff games, and then leave the Bengals and go somewhere else. That's just the way life occasionally works. And last thing for this podcast, Christian McCaffrey, who based on Dalvin Cook's flop at the Combine, those who follow the draft 365 days a year at this point are indicating that McCaffrey would likely be the second running back taken in the National Football League draft behind Leonard Fournette. I have some doubts. I love the pedigree, but I have some doubts about McCaffrey being able to be a productive running back in the NFL. Unless he finds his way into a Darren Sproles type role. I don't know, same program, but McCaffrey kind of looks like a Ty Montgomery type to me, where you can use him at running back, but on a game-to-game basis, where you're looking for 15, 20 carries, 80 to 100 yards, got to run between the tackles on about 40% of those runs, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like fit to me. Very, obviously, very talented player, but I think this is one of those where we all know the college game is different than the pro game. And especially with certain skill positions, they do not translate seamlessly. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is teed up at Landsberg Golf Club and the Florida Golf Trail. Again, I'd like to thank every player. Not only was my tournament last weekend at Landsberg Golf Club, the Final Foursome tournament, sold out, but for the first time ever, we were sold out with zero no-shows. Every seat on every cart was full. Now, for those of you saying, well, what does that mean? Well, what that means is I pre-sell a golf tournament because, just like anything else, you know, imagine if you, let's say you're in the Tampa Bay area and the Buck game is Sunday. And here we sit on Friday and the Bucks let you say, oh, yeah, I'd like to reserve those four seats in section 303. Yeah, and I'll pay for it when I get to the stadium. Okay. Between the time you say that and the time that game starts, if any little thing comes up in your life that gives you pause to spend the money and the time to be at that game, you know you can bail, right? And that's why sporting events don't do that. That's why my golf tournaments don't do that. So part of it is, sure, things come up. I'm sorry, it's not my issue. I can't run my tournaments that way. So if someone can't show, the person who paid for that spot is going to find someone else to play or really try. And that's what they did. So we did have a few name changes at the last minute, but every seat on every cart was full. And Landsberg Golf Club was a very enthusiastic, hardworking host. And that means a lot to me. And again, I would emphasize the greens at Landsberg Golf Club are very, very firm. They roll very true. Go out and play. Tell them Todd Wright sent you. 727-784-7333. Visit landsberg-golf.com. One of seven golf courses on the Florida Golf Trail. One of five public courses on the Florida Golf Trail. The other public courses being the Preserva Terra, Bardmore, Northdale, and Bloomingdale. The two private courses are the Bayou Club and River Hills. And for those of you cynical, saying, well, I can't play the private courses, my offer stands to you. I have talked about it to the marketing director. If you would like to check out either private course on the Florida Golf Trail, either Bayou Club or River Hills Country Club, email me personally at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. And I will write you back, contact the marketing manager, and we will set up a visit to either the Bayou Club or River Hills. And if you want, I will play with you as you check out the golf course. I'm still waiting for someone to take me up on that, but I just want all of you to know that the Florida Golf Trail's two private properties are available to you through me to go check out for yourself. Just email me at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. Thanks for listening to this weekend's edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We'll talk to you again soon.